Technorama, episode 489, World Serious.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
And you may ask yourself, where does that highway lead to?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Thank you for discovering Technorama. If you are a returning guest, listener, viewer, hostage, whatever you call it, thank you. Yeah. Welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time or your incarceration. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hey, I thought you were getting ready to start singing the lyrics to Once in a Lifetime. You may ask yourself, where does that... I don't know. Anyway, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Because every show, we put in that little space something unique, and we've been doing it for almost 500 shows. Actually,
I don't think we've actually overlapped.
I'm pretty sure we haven't had an original thought twice.
That much is true.
Does that even make sense?
I know. Yes. To me, it does.
Coming up in tonight's show, we have Engineer Doctors, High Beams in China, and Drink All You Like. With titles like that, headlines like that, how can you go wrong? We look at the feedback from the listeners. We have nothing.
Yeah, I was ready for the record scratch.
I need that sound effect really badly because I could certainly use it. We want to invite you to give your feedback to this show, and we will encourage you throughout the show to send your voicemail.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Oh, that's the wrong number. We got to update that clip.
Like a well-oiled machine.
707-530-CHAT. We got a new number last spring. K7.net went out of business and kicked us off.
You need to get your sister back on the horn.
I think so. She's actually in Kentucky visiting my other sister this week. So can't
do
much about that.
Is there recording equipment there?
You could still send your email. You can still
send your comments to technorama at chuckchat.com.
And we're going
to
fix that too.
Hey, is there a microphone near in Kentucky?
I don't know, but I can call her on the phone. Won't that sound wonderful?
Sure.
Which means it's time to go to the history section. Let us call in the marching band. On this day in history for November 9th, 2016, that's because we record this on Sunday night, but we release the audio podcast on November 9th, 3 days after we record it. Kind of like a magazine. You know how those are always predated. This is the 313th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 52 days remaining in 2016. So if you had a deck of cards, you could use one every day from now till the end of the year. Stupid, useless trivia.
Okay.
I see a number like 52 and I think decks of cards or weeks in the year.
Yeah.
It was on this date in 1620 that the pilgrims aboard the Mayflower sight land at Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
And this is also the anniversary of the Great Boston Fire of 1872.
How do you celebrate a great fire?
I didn't say you celebrate it.
With a great marshmallow? I don't know.
Bonfire.
Right. Hot dogs. NASA launches an unmanned Apollo 4 test spacecraft atop the first Saturn V rocket from Cape Kennedy, Florida, November 9th, 1967.
That same day, in 1967, the first issue of the Rolling Stone magazine was published.
On the cover of the Rolling Stone. 37 years ago today, the NORAD computers and the Alternate National Military Command Center in Fort Ritchie, Maryland, detected a purported massive Soviet nuclear strike. After reviewing the raw data from the satellites and checking the early warning alert radars, the alert was thankfully canceled.
Yeah. And it was also today in 1985, Garry Kasparov, 22, of the Soviet Union, becomes the youngest world chess champion by beating fellow Soviet Anatoly Karpov.
He's only a couple years older than us. How about that?
Yeah.
Still a young man. Yes. November 9th, 1994, the chemical element Darmstadtium is discovered.
What Iron Man suit's made of, isn't it?
That Darmstadtium. I thought that's where the football players keep losing.
That's right. And it was also this date in 2005, the Venus Express mission of the European Space Agency, is launched from Baikonur.
Baikonur.
Cosmodrome. Yeah, Cosmodrome. I don't know how to say dome. Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan.
There is a really good show on Netflix called Cosmodrome. Look for it. It's about the Russian engineers and their rocket engines, even from 20 years ago, are more advanced. Well, this was filmed about 15 years ago. So the rocket engines they uncovered in the early 90s were more advanced than anything we ever had because they used a closed loop system. I'm not going to get into all the technical. Very good show. Cosmodrome on Netflix. Look for it. Okay, let's do the birthdays. Happy birthday goes out on this date to German astrologer and theologian Martin Chemnitz, born on this date in 1522.
And also born on this date in 1931, Russian surgeon and transplantologist.
There you go.
Valery Shmukov.
American astronomer, astrophysicist. Now you got me doing it. Cosmologist, not cosmetologist. Carl Sagan was born on this date billions and billions of years ago in 1934.
I heard he could cut some mean hair, I'm telling you. And born today, November 9th, 1941, American singer-songwriter and guitarist Tom Fogerty.
Not to be confused with John Fogerty. They were brothers in CCR. That's the way it was on this day in history for November 9, 2016. We also have listener birthdays for November 9 through 15. November 10th is John Noble from the island. We'll be mentioning him a little later in the show as well. Not John Noble, the actor. We do that every year.
I didn't remember him on that show.
The island?
Yeah.
No. Fantasy Island?
Yeah.
November 13th, we have Pippa from London, UK, and Jennifer Therrien from Canada. Wow, there's people born all over the world on the same day. How about that?
I know, imagine that.
Three birthdays on November 15th, Jackie Breller, Crazy Joe and Christine's daughter, and Chuck Jolly, a.k.a. Nightstar from Hordlake, Missouri, and Tabs, our friend from the Dog Days of Podcasting, many other podcasts. She's been all over the place. So, yeah, happy birthday.
She's like the social media butterfly.
She is, as many of the other followers of Technorama are. Thank you very much. If you want to get your birthday on the show, you can go to chuckchat.com/wiki. There is a lower thirds for that, too, which is kind of cool. Did you find it?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, there you go. I just made that this week, so now you know
how
to get
there. It has our correct phone number on it as well.
Well, yeah, the lower third has, but now it switches over. It's got the wiki on there. You go there, you click on the birthday calendar, you put your name on the right month and day, and we will give you, and apparently most of your family, people are putting brothers, sisters, mothers, aunts, great cousins, we'll be happy to give you a shout out as a fan and listener of the show, because we love you just oh so much when you do that. But until then, we can't do that until you put your name on there. So go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, and we'll give you a shout out. Thank you very much. Marching band? You know they got 30 seconds left. Yep, we're going to head them on out.
We don't have a budget to keep you for another 10 minutes.
I lined up all of my good news, everyone's, in all these blue squares.
Play them all.
At the same time?
Good news, everyone!
Was that what you wanted?
Yeah. Actually, they kind of synced up there for a minute.
They were. Well, we have good news. Of course, everybody is well aware that the Chicago Cubs have won the World Series for the first time in 108 years, and in a WWND moment, which is what would Neil do?
Okay.
As in Neil deGrasse Tyson. shortly before 1 a.m., the night that the Cubs clinched their first World Series title in 108 years, Chicago went crazy. Bill Murray and Theo Epstein got sloshed on camera, and J.R. Smith probably got kind of cold. While the games were still in progress, however, noted Bloviator, that doesn't sound like a good title, Neil deGrasse Tyson decided to weigh in on the Cubs' chances, turning himself into a human equivalent of a wet blanket in the process. He tweeted, "The last time the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, the existence of the atom had only recently been established. The last time the Cubs won the World Series, the Wright brothers were debating if airplanes could ever fly from New York City to Paris. And the last time
that's a good point. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Last time the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, the periodic table only had 85 elements on it. The last time the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, the cosmic object known as Pluto, oh, that really degrades it, doesn't it? Can't you just call it a planetoid?
Yeah. He's just sticking a knife in.
I know. It was not yet discovered. Well, he got called out. He got called out by Sonar Jose, which says, MF, you're just tweeting explicative crap from 1908 Wikipedia page. So, in transparency, I want to be clear about this. Our previous segment on this day in history comes from Wikipedia.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You're right.
Just so we don't get called out like we normally do.
Was that a conflict of interest?
For whom? Neil or us?
You.
No.
Both.
I'm just being transparent in what we say.
Right. Okay.
But you know what? A lot of people don't know those facts unless you call them, you bring them to the light.
That's true.
I'm not quoting it word for word. Well, most of it I am. I just rearranged the words a little bit.
Wait a minute. Actually, all the articles we read, we kind of read out.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's the point of this show, is to bring you the weird and unusual things, like a brewer who claims to have created an alcohol beer that doesn't give you a hangover.
Oh, I'm in.
Okay, read away then. It's all your story to read.
All right, Dutch beer maker, De Pryl Brewery. Did I say that right?
Pryl? Close enough.
Claims to have discovered the holy grail of alcoholic drinks, a Pilsner-style brew laced with ingredients that gladly reduce, or greatly, excuse me, gladly, I guess
gladly is also
implied. It's greatly reduced the chances of a next day hangover and leave the drinkers feeling fresh. Okay. Kind of like a monster drink or Red Bull. Gesink.
You almost said Thomas Gideon.
Thomas Gideon. That's what it sounded like. The owner of the Amsterdam-based De Pryl Brewery says he came up with the formula for his revolutionary beer after being challenged to create an alcoholic brew that would allow consumer to drink, to go to work the morning after without having to deal with the symptoms of a hangover. So he and his team of brewers set out. Started researching what ingredients they would need to achieve their goal while making sure they didn't affect the taste of the beer, which I think is very important myself. While the exact recipe for the 4.5% alcohol hangover-free beer remains a closely guarded secret.
He's made Synthahol.
Yeah, he made Synthahol. He went in the future and brought back, Gesink. Am I saying his name right? Gesink?
Close enough.
Okay. Revealed that the main wonder ingredient was vitamin B12. Now, that's interesting, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Which prevents headaches.
Bingo. It's also
It's actually the only vitamin which can be dissolved in water, and that is why you can brew with it.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, the unique beer also contains sea salt to prevent dehydration. What?
Oh, sea salt to prevent dehydration? Oh, maybe it takes getting used to, like Gatorade, the first time you tasted that and went, ah.
All right, it has ginger willow fibers, which are also known to have a cleansing.
This is starting to sound like a really bad beer.
Yeah. Well, the reason I was going to say something about the B12 is my friend Mark had a book, and it was talking about, I want to say it was the history of beers, or the history of wheat beer, actually. Mm-hmm. And in the back, it had a thing about how to avoid hangovers. Okay, one of those was drink lots of water before you go to bed, which I think everybody has heard that before. But also one of them was to take a B complex multivitamin. So when you know, as you sleep, it dissolves and works out your system. So B12, of course, would be in that B complex. So that's interesting. I didn't know if that was what I read a long time ago was actually accurate, because I still had hangovers from time to time. But yeah, that's interesting that they brought that up.
Keep in mind, everything we see here is on the internet, and it's worth every penny accurate. You pay for it.
It's accurate.
It's accurate.
Take it at face value, because it's true.
And from the news, we go into the hacks and strange stories. Don't drive with your brights on in China, or you will get blinded.
Okay.
Chinese drivers who blind others with the full beam headlights are forced to stare into the light by police. Blinded by the light. When driving at night, there's nothing quite annoying as being blinded by the full beam headlights of another vehicle. Recognizing this problem, the police department recently started punishing offenders by making them stare at their own headlights for a full minute. Hopefully, this will make them see the error of their ways. On November 1st, Shenzhen police took to Weibo, China's most popular social network, to warn drivers. China has a social network?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It must be just
like Facebook
within
something.
The country. Okay. I didn't think they allowed anything. No, Korea doesn't allow anything, any internet. North Korea. Okay. They took to the social network to warn drivers that anyone caught using their car's headlights on full beam illegally would be fined 300 yuan, which is about $44, lose points on their license, and be made to recite the regulations on the proper use of headlights. Recite the regulations. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Oh, not that one. But
right.
What really drew people's attention was the introduction of a new and unconventional punishment, making offenders stare into the high beam headlights for 60 seconds while sitting on a specially designed chair. This chair looks like a specially designed lawn chair.
I was going to say, it looks like any folding chair I've seen.
Yep, pretty much.
Specially designed.
They got it from the elementary school gym. It's very uncomfortable. You try sitting in one of those for 60 seconds.
Right.
Interestingly, police Shenzhen first launched this initiative in 2014 and got a lot of criticism for it. But this time around, the vast majority of Weibo users seem very supportive. Quote, traffic police comrades, I believe this kind of punishment is not right. It's inhumane. They should have to look for 5 minutes, one person commented. The whole country should implement this immediately, another added. Several other local police forces gave it a thumbs up on the social media accounts, and a poll on the mainstream Sina News portal found that 90% of the people supported the unusual punishment. What do you think? Let us know. Call 707-530-CHAT. Do you think they should do this in the U.S.?
By the way, yeah, sure, I do. I hate it when people leave their high beams
on.
Well,
the police have to catch you first.
That's true. Actually, you know what's funny is that bottom picture of the article, the specially designed chair, I don't see any car headlights. He's like surrounded by the media.
Yeah, that's what I like too.
It's like, let's just take a picture of him. Look, let's make an example of him.
Some of those LEDs on the phones are brighter than the headlights.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I don't know. I've seen some people doing that, and I hate that, by the way.
As do I. But usually, you know, a quick flick of your lights will get them to turn their lights off. Our second story in the Hacks and Strange Stories is one that you brought up that I think is brilliant. Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. Now, I did share this on my Facebook, so if you follow me on Facebook, you probably saw this. But this man, hacked an Alexa into the Billy Bass fish.
Yeah, you know, those fish that came out a few years ago that started singing when you push the button.
Yeah, he's singing Down on the River. And so, here you go. A developer named Brian Kane has hacked his Alexa to speak through the avatar of a wall-mounted big mouth, Billy Bass. I'm getting ahead of myself.
It looks really funny because he pushes the button and he asks it the weather. and the fish turns its head, looks at you, yeah, and responds with the temperature and the forecast.
Well, what's funny is, you know, when you say, hey, Alexa, and it goes, boom, like he's got, you got its attention.
I know. I think that's great.
Say it. Well, when he says that, the fish, when he does that, the fish turns his head and goes, boom.
And the mouth moves just, according to what, moves, what's being it. Said.
Yeah.
It's rather comical.
So, but what's funny is as soon as it's done, it just moves its head back into position like, okay, I'm done.
So when our robot overlords take over, are they going, what do you think they'll do when they come across this on the guy's wall?
Yeah, I know.
That is just humiliating.
Yeah. All life will be gone and somebody, you know, aliens are landing and they're walking through somebody's house and today's weather is, you know.
Yeah, and one of the alien
internet up is an Amazon still on.
Alien Gorch turns to his counter alien Alexa and says, "Hey Alexa," and the fish looks at him.
You know what's funny? When you say Gorch, you know what I immediately thought of? Worf's zit. That's what. Remember, that's what it was called.
Oh, the no, I said Gort, as in.
Oh. Oh, I'm Simpsons?
No, Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, Gort. That
Gort.
I thought you said Gorch.
I think we need to take immediately a break.
I must know some Klingon because I immediately thought Zit.
Okay, and on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with an old phone and some other odd stories. Stick around.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with AstronomyCast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Kane, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Trek, Larry Nemechek, coming at you right from Portal 47 and all things Trekland, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Yeah, we just interviewed Larry this past weekend, so we're eager to get you that audio interview on the...
Actually, I was thinking maybe we should just post it before we actually post the show.
We could do that. Well, then this would be all out of order, because Monday is going to be the Patreon show.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll pass.
I'm confused.
All right, we'll post it after this show, although nobody else gets the Patreon show except for the Patreon guys.
Right, and we'll give them a shout-out just a little bit. We have 7 viewers on our Facebook Live right now. Hey, we're doing pretty good.
We're racking up.
And some people have come and left, which happens a lot with this show.
Hey, we're up 6 viewers.
Tim Elliott, Stephen Chopchick, I hope I'm saying that right. Tim Elliott, Matt Beckwith, whom we haven't talked with in quite a while. Good to hear from him again. And Mike Wills, who is also a Patreon patron, which we will be acknowledging soon. I'm not sure who the other 7 are. Somebody just left.
No, we're getting back to 6. Go find somebody, quick.
I'm getting video lag. The audio is good, though. Odd. Oh, we are getting a little bit of, let's see. Yeah, a little bit. I'm just checking the audio and video sync.
Oh.
Might be something on the Wirecast or the live. Well, it'll have to be the Wirecast because I'm seeing it live on my end.
See.
Yeah. And there's going to be a lag getting it to Facebook. Anyway, we'll work on that. We'll get that taken care of. So thank you for joining us. We do this show live Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Or whatever time that is in your part of the country. Let's do the Remember When thing. See if I can find that clip. There we are. The big green button.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Play that happy-go-lucky. All right.
Grandparents. You reading this or am I?
I was going to read it.
Go ahead.
All right. Tired of teaching your older family members to use their smartphones every time you visit? Yes. Just do what Mr. YouTube's Mr. Volt did and build a custom cell phone out of aluminum, brass, wood, and with a rotary working dial. How about that? It's reminiscent of the old ancient landlines of yesteryear.
Ancient landlines. I think I was using one of those well into the 80s.
I think I used one just the other day. So the the brick-like form factor and hefty weight of the prototype is sure to be comforting to your grandparents. I take a little offense to that. Okay. And while an equally primitive feature set, including a tiny OLED display with enough memory to store one phone number and an FM radio.
I think the FM radio is interesting in itself.
Yeah, well, I know. I just kind of... Okay. But there's no chance your family members will get lost in the menus, accidentally dial 911, or somehow factory reset the cell phone because there is no factory reset button.
And, yeah, there's no button dialing on this either. So it's got six functions. There's a center rotary switch that changes function from dial mode to FM radio mode to... it says you can do texting, but I'm not exactly sure how. He's got an Arduino inside this that has a GSM inside it. But on a rotary, if you dial, remember, one button, like ABC is on the 2 button. If you rotary dial the 2 and you get an A, how do you change that to a B or a C?
Do it like 3 times.
Well, how come that's not AAA? That's the part that confused me. I wasn't quite sure how it did that. And then he's got 2 push buttons on either side of that to store or recall a phone number. I like that. Watch the video. It's about 5 or 6 minutes long. It's pretty slick. He even talks about his design mistakes that he made. Like, well, this thing on the side wasn't supposed to be there, but I added on later, and I think it adds to the aesthetics pretty nicely.
Actually, the whole thing looks like he went through his what's left over from Radio Shack box and built it.
It kind of does.
I recognize the red push button.
If it were me, I would have steampunked this thing. The aluminum is nice, but I think a brass and copper would have really, really brought this to life.
Yeah, probably. Hey, anyway. I remember the rotary phone. I mean,
yes.
Crying out loud, why was he saying about your grandparents?
Craig, we are officially now old enough to be grandparents.
The hell you say? No, I am. No, wait a minute. I'm not.
Technically, you are. Maybe. Yes, you are. You don't happen to have you started your kids later than most, or later than you could have. But it's conceivable. Yeah, well, I have friends who are grandparents.
I know.
I have brothers and sisters who are grandparents younger than me.
So I know, but you know what? I don't.
When you have a kid at 20 or 21 or 22, and they have kids at 21 or 22, you're a grandparent in your mid-40s. Deal with it.
Okay. That's just it. I don't have to deal with it.
You may. What we like dealing with is our patrons, and we want to thank them very loudly.
Yeah. Now, these are my children.
This show is brought to you by you. Thank you very much, patrons. We have patrons Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Grant Pachoco, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, Nick St. Gabriel, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Leon, and our newest convert from the old PayPal system to Patreon, John Noble, who's got a birthday coming up. Thank you very much.
Hey, and let me tell you, my OCD is kicking in because the table now has 3 empty slots, so we have to fill those. So,
yeah, we just got the table 4x3 filled up last week, and we got 1 more, so now we have room for 3 more. Or if you really want to keep Craig ticked off, just keep coming in like ones and threes and then jump to the next row.
We'll end up with one empty one for a while, and then all of a sudden it'll be another, two.
Yeah. Don't let it sit like this for long.
Yeah. Think of my mental health, please.
Your donations, you get special content. That's what it is. Special content. Wonderful special. Special in a good way.
Is that in air quotes? Special.
Oh, we're going to need new lower thirds for this. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast is where you want to go to support this show. We appreciate it. As little as $1 a show, and we only charge when we produce. So if Craig and I have business trips or family meetings or whatever, and we're not doing a show that week, you don't lose out, which is kind of cool. So we appreciate that. Thank you very much. Let's bring that down, kill that audio. We do all of this ourselves. And we
So we need some more. We need some more Patreons so we can afford to hire help.
What?
Then we do it all ourselves.
We have. Yeah, we do.
Welcome to Blockhead.
Weber Baker says,
hey,
"Grandpa Craig."
Some good information about music and TV and video and things. Crap. Over here in the media corner.
Oh, see that, Mike Wills? He gave us like sacks of money icons.
All right, there we go. We're rolling now.
We're almost rich. We can
eight of them.
We can buy a new font.
When you have Mike Wills' money, anything's possible.
I guess. Well, as we mentioned at the top of the show, the Chicago Cubs have won the World Series for the first time in 108 years. And while you might think, hey, Back to the Future got it kind of close. I think Back to the Future is like the new Star Trek. They just keep predicting things that come true, like the tennis shoes and the hoverboards and the, you know, whatnot. I guess 3D Jaws. And while some of the things were a little off.
Off what? Okay.
A yearbook from 1993 shows that one gentleman got it right. Now, you look at these pictures and people have their quotes, and sometimes they're reciting song lyrics. Someday we'll look back on this and moment and plow into a car. That's a nice sentiment. But Michael Lee said, Chicago Cubs, 2016 world champions. You heard it here first.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty amazing quote. He said he came to him in a dream.
Uh-huh.
And then one of his friends reminded him of the of that dream. I guess he told him about it. And that's where the quote came from. He put it in the yearbook. So apparently, you see the video and the guy, and some, one of his classmates is flipping through the yearbook and it shows the quote. And actually, I saw where Michael Lee, he posted something else about it. Anyway, he was making a T-shirt that said, you heard it here first, and he was going to sell the shirt, and the money that went that he got from that would go to it was a charity for a fund for bullies or something, or not bullies, not for them.
For losing baseball teams?
No, for anti-bullying. There you go.
Oh, okay. A charity fund for bullies. That would work out well, Craig. What I mean, if you give them their money, what's their threat? Give me your... Wait, you already did. This isn't making any sense anymore. But this show?
Anyway, so I thought it was a nice gesture. He said he was going to sell them for charity, for a charity, or for a cause. There you go.
Well, and you know, to their credit, the writers of Back to the Future were close. They said they won in 2015.
Yeah, actually, you know, everybody was really pulling for him to actually pull it off last year because that would have been just too.
That would have been the ultimate.
Yeah, it'd have been the ultimate thing. But anyway, they were close enough, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
so it was go ahead.
The screenwriter Bob Gale kind of is upset because now his gag doesn't work anymore. In Back to the Future 2, someone mentions to Marty McFly that he wished he'd bet on the Cubs to win that year's World Series, i.e. 2015. This inspires Marty to pick up the sports almanac during his trip to the future. Perhaps one of the most memorable takes on gags about the team's wretched luck when it came to the World Series. But while Gale is happy the Cubs finally got their win, he's a little disappointed his gag is no longer applicable. Quote, so Bob Zemeckis and I have been talking about this since last year, of course, when it looked like our prediction might actually come true in the right year. So the question now is, so they've won. Is the joke ever going to be funny again? It's not an unusual event now. It was mixed emotions because I was thinking if the Cubs lose, people will still laugh at the joke. And if the Cubs win, then we made an almost accurate prediction. The best part of it is that the gag that was so memorable here, we are still talking about it, and it's gratifying that Back to the Future means so much to so many people.
Oh, of course. Well,
what was the movie? You know, Jaws 19?
Jaws 19. Yeah, directed by Matthew. Was it Matthew Spielberg? Or Max. That's right. It was Max. You know what's funny? Even when they made that joke, you know, Back to the Future came out what in the late '89. So it was like almost 80 years since the Cubs had won at that point.
Oh, you're right. Kind of like the Titanic. It's been the Titanic sunk after the Cubs won their last World Series.
I know. There's a lot of things that happened since the Cubs. Anyway, that's cool. Anyway, congratulations, Cubs. How about that?
I think my grandfather was coming to America about that time.
Whew. Yeah.
It's a long time.
Hey, so yeah, the Cubs won in 1908. I was born 60 years later. Actually, 61 years
and
later.
And now almost 50 years later, they've won.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to do a role play for you on this one. Are you ready, Craig?
Sure.
Okay, I'll be the engineer, you be the doctor. That doesn't sound okay. Good in any way, shape, or form, but dear listener,
damn
you'll
it,
get
Chuck,
the idea.
I'm not a doctor, I'm an actor.
Okay, wait, here, we gotta play our geek library music. You know, we work real hard for this podcast. We got to give people their dollars worth.
All right, hold on. Getting in the mode. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. An engineer was unemployed for a long time. He decided to open a medical clinic. He puts a sign outside his clinic that reads, "A cure for your ailment guaranteed at $500. We'll pay you $1,000 if we fail." A doctor thinks this is a good opportunity to earn $1,000 and goes into his clinic.
I've lost my sense of taste.
Nurse, bring the medicine from box 22 and put three drops in the patient's mouth.
Whoa, this is gasoline.
Congratulations, you've got your taste back. That'll be $500. The doctor gets annoyed and goes back after a couple of days to try and recover his money.
Hey, look. I lost my memory. I can't remember anything.
Nurse, please bring the medicine from box 22 and put three drops in the patient's mouth.
But that's gasoline.
Congratulations, you've got your memory back. That'll be another $500. Then the doctor leaves angrily and comes back after several days, more determined than ever to make his money back.
My sight has become weak.
Well, I don't have any medicine for this, so take this $1,000, passing the doctor a $500 note.
But this is $500.
Congratulations, you got your vision back. That'll be $500.
Wait.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. That there.
Yeah, that was like letting the cork off the champagne, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure. I don't know what to call that. Actually.
But Weber Baker says, "I'm not a doctor, I'm a podcaster."
That's right. And that's what I was looking for.
We're not comedians either. Well, that brings us to the end of our show.
Does it? Wait, we have a question.
We do have a question. Our question of the week is, how do you envision home entertainment in the future? Because Google just released its Home, which is not, you know, it's not quite the entertainment, but it's another home personal assistant.
Actually, that's not true.
It does more?
You can cast to it. So like if you play music on your phone and you have the little cast button like for your Chromecast.
Okay.
You can send music to it. You can obviously ask it to look for videos and throw it on your TV, on your Chromecast.
Does it know about a Chromecast if you have a Chromecast?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. You can say search videos for so-and-so. Play that on my Chromecast and it would, you know, you
give can it Chromecast search your Plex server?
I don't know.
See, I don't know what it does.
Oh, wait. Here is the cool thing that they just came out with. Now, you know, on the new Pixel phone, it has the Google Assistant, which is the same assistant that's in the Google Home, the little device. IFTTT now has hooks for it.
Really?
So for something your phone main or Google Assistant may not do, you can certainly program it to do. So if you said, if you had a light switch controller, you could say, "Hey, turn on my living room lights." You know, they would do it.
We're already getting feedback from the Facebook Live. It says Mike Will's answer is VR directly to the brain.
Yeah,
no, right. No. It's implants. Have you watched any of the third season of Black Mirror? Implants, bad. No, don't go there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we talked about it the other week.
Every episode that has implants goes horribly wrong in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, so you don't want VR in the brain.
So let us know. Call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. Or send us an email, technorama@checkchat.com. Oh, I love my wife. She does such a great job with the video. There it is, right on the screen for you. And with that, I think we're taken to the end of the show. Yes?
We're taken to the end of the show?
We're taken. We've been taken, all right. Where's the outro music? There we go. So thank you, everybody, for joining us on Facebook Live once again. We look forward to doing this regularly for you. I know not quite as many views as the which should you vote for, Clinton or Trump, but by the time many of you see this, that soap opera will be over. And definitely by the time you hear this on the podcast release on Wednesday. So good luck. Hope. Get out there and vote. If you are hearing this before Tuesday in the U.S., please do your civic duty. Cast
if
your
you're
vote.
If you're listening to this after Wednesday, vote again.
Yeah, vote again. What can it hurt?
Right.
We will talk to you again next Sunday night. Yeah, I believe we're both on planet Earth in our respective homes. And
the week is still young.
Give me a binary high five, Craig.
101.